Mr. Braswell was very nice in his speech, and I appreciate that. We're here to discuss the Bible, and we're at issue on this subject of once saved, always saved. Yes, at first I thought I was affirming in this discussion. That didn't mean I was going to affirm that once saved, always saved was true. I was going to affirm that once saved, always saved was not true. But he preferred to be in the affirmative, so I let him have that. It didn't really matter to me. But I'll just say that to say I did not change positions. I've always believed since I've become a Christian that once saved, always saved is not true. And Mr. Braswell commented that numbers don't matter. I agree with that 100%. Numbers don't matter. Whoever is teaching what the Bible says, that's what counts. Mr. Braswell quoted Jude verse 3 that this is the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And he acted like that proved once saved, always saved. And I think his argument was like basically like this, like if I were saved and then I were lost, to get saved again, the faith would have to be delivered to me again. But the Bible says the faith was once delivered to the saints. That's not what that's talking about. That's talking about contending for the faith, that we should earnestly contend for the faith. And what that's, the Bible uses the word faith in this sense. Sometimes it refers to our own personal faith, but many times it refers to the faith that we preach, the Word of God. For example, in Galatians 1:23, it says, "They had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past," referring to Paul, "now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed." So in that sense, this is the faith, the Word of God, and we preach that faith. And Mr. Braswell claims to preach that faith. That is the faith that was once delivered to the saints. In other words, the Bible, the New Testament, was once delivered to the saints. Once we got the New Testament delivered to the saints, you didn't have to keep delivering the Word of God over and over and over again. You don't have to keep getting revelation from God, new revelation. We've got the Word of God. We've got the faith. That's what that's talking about. It's not saying that a person cannot lose his faith and then gain it back. It has nothing to do with that. And then Mr. Braswell brought up John 5:24. Put up number 3, Andrew. I didn't mention to you a chart, but I was going to bring up this. It's not on my affirmative list. John 5:24. Let's look at that. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Now, Mr. Braswell acted like that proved once you're saved, you're always saved. But I believe this passage. A believer has everlasting life. He will not come into condemnation, but he's passed from death unto life. That's not the question. We agree on the believer. The believer has everlasting life. He will not come into condemnation. But what we're talking about, let me turn off my cell phone, somebody might call me. One time I was preaching in the middle of a sermon at church, and somebody called me right in the middle of the sermon because I forgot to turn my cell phone off. But anyway, we're not talking about the believer. That's not what's at question here. What about a person who believes and he quits believing? So he's not a believer anymore, is he? So this verse is not talking about him. This is talking about believers. It says the believer has everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. We're not talking about that. I agree with Mr. Braswell on that, the believer. That's true. We're not talking about that. We're talking about an unbeliever. A person who believes, and then he becomes an unbeliever. What about him? Well, John 3:36 answers that for us. It says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." That's talking about the believer. "And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life." So John 5:24 is talking about the one who's a believer. John 3:36 is talking about the believer, and then it talks about the unbeliever. That question, that issue this morning is, what about a believer who becomes an unbeliever? He's not a believer anymore. So John 5:24 is not talking about him. He's an unbeliever. John 5:24 is only talking about believers. Sometimes people say that, well, he possesses everlasting life or eternal life, therefore you can't lose it. Well, I don't follow the reasoning there. No, a person can possess everlasting life, eternal life, and lose it. Think of the illustration of Adam and Eve. Do you remember before they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they had access to the tree of life and were going to live forever. Right? I think y'all agree with me on that. They would have lived forever if they had never sinned. They would have lived forever physically. Did they possess eternal physical life at that time? Yes. Could they lose it? Yes. Again, they possessed eternal physical life. They were going to live forever. But they lost it. They lost eternal physical life. And the Bible says in a number of places that the believer possesses everlasting life. I believe that he does. That's not the question. The question is, can he lose it? Just like Adam and Eve lost eternal physical life, we will lose eternal spiritual life if we quit being a believer. Isn't that the point of John 3:36? He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. Can a person, a believer, become an unbeliever? We've been talking about a believer who becomes an unbeliever. Can he do that? Turn to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. I will prove to you, and this isn't the only passage I could use, but this should suffice, because this is God's Word. This will prove that a believer can become an unbeliever. Now, in Hebrews 3:1, Paul is addressing holy brethren. These are not pretend brethren. These are not fake brethren. These are holy brethren. They're truly brethren of the Lord. Then he addresses them again in verse 12. Take heed, brethren. He's still talking to these holy brethren. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So a believer, a holy believer, a truly believer, Paul, or whoever the writer of Hebrews is, I should say, we don't know who wrote the book. The writer of Hebrews suggests that he needed to be careful lest he got an evil heart of unbelief and departed from the living God. So it's possible for a believer to become an unbeliever. And I think you know that's true from your experience. Because in the church I'm a member of, we have people who are believers. They quit. Some of them quit believing. They fall away. They quit attending, for example. I feel sure that among the true life people, you've had believers. And then they quit believing. So you've seen it in your experience. Well, the Bible teaches it. The Bible teaches a believer can become an unbeliever. Have an evil heart of unbelief and depart from the living God. Now, what does John 3:36 and John 5:24 say about him? Well, John 5:24 does not address that unbeliever. It addresses the believer. It doesn't address the believer who's become an unbeliever. But John 3:36 does. It says that unbeliever who used to be a believer shall not see life. You see the point? And then Mr. Braswell brought up Acts 16, verse 31. Turn there. Now, Mr. Braswell resorted to another topic that we have discussed in the past, whether or not a person has to be baptized to be saved. He made a point on that. Now, look at it in your Bible, Acts 16, 31. The way he read it like this, and they said, only believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And he said, Mr. Braswell put the word only in there, and then defined the word only. In just to say that that's the only thing you had to do. He emphasized that word to prove his point. But the word's not there. That's the word he added. That's not what it says. It doesn't say only believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It just says believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If that passage means that all you have to do is believe and nothing else, then what are you going to do about all those passages like, for example, Luke 13:3 that say you have to repent? You mean the true life? Don't believe a person has to repent of their sins to be saved? Luke 13:3 says, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. I thought the true lights agreed that the passages like that taught that you had to repent to be saved. If you do agree with that, and I think you do, then you admit that belief only is not enough. You at least have to believe and you have to repent. At least two things to be saved. Now, Mr. Braswell made a big point about Jesus telling the whole truth. And I agree that he did tell the whole truth about salvation. But Mr. Braswell fails to read the whole truth. He read the passage that says you have to believe and said that's all you have to do. But he failed to read where Jesus said you had to repent in Luke 13:3. That's part of the whole truth that Jesus brought forth. And Mr. Braswell failed to read Mark 16:16 that says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You see, he contended in that debate, the first debate we had, that you didn't have to be baptized to be saved. But we're in agreement, Mr. Braswell, based upon your first question tonight, that Jesus taught the whole truth. Now, why don't we read the whole truth? Why don't we read just the passage that says you have to believe? Why not the passages that say you have to repent? Jesus said it. Why not this passage where Jesus said you had to be baptized? He didn't say believe only. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, the true lights teach you don't have to be baptized to be saved. But the whole truth that Jesus taught says that you do. And that is very, very clear. It's not vague. It's not hard to understand. It's written in simple terms that I think a second or third grader can understand. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We all know what that means. If I tell my child, he that eats his carrots and his beans can get a piece of chocolate pie. I think we know what he has to do. He can't just eat his carrots and say, I ate my carrots, but I haven't eaten my beans. Now give me my chocolate pie. We would say, No, we told you he that eats his carrots and eats his beans gets the chocolate pie. You have to do both. We understand that. Then while we're talking about the whole truth, let's get back to once saved, always saved, since that is the subject. Clip number 5. What did Jesus teach about once saved, always saved? Because we want to know what the whole truth that Jesus taught is. Well, look at John 15, 2 through 6. Jesus said in verse 5 of John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. He said, now you are clean through the word, in verse 3. Verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth fruit, more fruit. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, notice some points. If you look at that passage in your Bible, it says, Jesus is the vine. The branches are the people. He says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. I think y'all would agree. The branches represent the people in the analogy. Now, these people are Christians because it says in verse 2, every branch in me, in Christ. We know what that means. In Christ means that you're in fellowship with Christ. You're in a saved relationship with Christ. That's what in Christ means. These branches, remember the branches represent the people, and Jesus is represented by the vine. These branches were in Christ. That means they were saved. Well, you can tell that from verse 3. It says, now you are clean through the word. What does that mean? Well, we all know, and you guys would agree, that a person who becomes a Christian is forgiven of his sins based upon hearing the word of God and believing the word of God. He becomes clean from his sin through the word. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. So he's talking about Christians, people that are in Christ. They're clean through the word. They've been cleansed of their sins. But he says, here's a branch that does not bear fruit. That's the physical analogy. What do you do with a branch lay on an apple tree that's not bearing fruit? You prune it. And he goes on to say, then you gather up all the branches that you prune, you take them over there and pile them up, burn them. I'm sure all of us men and most of the ladies have done that before. I do it constantly because I own 30 acres. I'm constantly having to clean up brush and make piles and burn them. You do that. That's Jesus' analogy. Well, what's the spiritual point of the analogy, of the illustration? People are the branches. These people were clean through the word. They were in Christ. They were Christians. But he says, if you don't produce fruit, in other words, if you don't live right as a Christian, we are going to prune you and burn you with fire. Now, what does that sound like? Doesn't that sound like everlasting punishment? Isn't that what it represents, the analogy? H-E-L-L? Now, so wouldn't this teach, once they'd always say, is not true? Here's a person that was in there. He was in Christ. He was in the vine. He was attached to the vine, Christ. But he did not abide in the vine. He left. He did not produce fruit. He did not live the Christian life. Jesus said, we'll prune him and we'll take him out and burn him. That's everlasting punishment. A Christian that was clean through the word, but he didn't live right, the analogy is that he will be sent to everlasting punishment. That's pretty clear, isn't it? If you've ever burned any brush, I think you understand Jesus' analogy. Then Mr. Braswell, my friend, said, God won't let the devil snatch away a soul. But I'd like you to turn to Revelation chapter 3, verse 11. That's right. God won't let the devil snatch away a single soul. Only you can allow your own soul to be lost. God will never allow another person or the devil to take you by force. But you can allow yourself to be lost. In Revelation 3, verse 11, the Bible says, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. You see? God won't let a man take your crown, that is, your salvation, away from you against your will. He won't let the devil do that. But here it says that you can allow somebody to do that. For example, if you allow a false teacher to lead you astray, then you're allowing a man to take away your crown, your salvation. Isn't that what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 15, verse 14? If the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. The ditch represents everlasting punishment. H-E-L-L. If you allow somebody to lead you astray into false doctrine or into false living, bad living, immoral living, then this passage teaches that they take away your crown. You've allowed them to do it. God wouldn't allow them to do it, but you can, of your own volition. That's clear, isn't it? Don't allow a man to take away your crown. Put up number 13, then. We've already been over this passage, but again, I want to prove to you that you can voluntarily lose your faith. Hebrews 3, verse 12. Thank you. 5 minutes. It says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. That's a believer. It's a holy brother, according to verse 1. It says, he could possibly develop an evil heart of unbelief and depart from the living God. Mr. Braswell evidently thinks that's impossible. Mr. Braswell says a believer cannot become an unbeliever. I guess we'll let him answer that. Hebrews 3:12 says he can. Mr. Braswell says a brother cannot depart from God. Hebrews 3:12 says that a brother can depart from God. And Mr. Braswell says a brother can't lose his salvation, but this passage teaches that he can. And then Mr. Braswell said that God works not in vain. But you know, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 2 says that we can believe in vain if we don't keep in memory what is preached to us. In other words, if we don't abide by the Lord's teaching, God's teaching, after we become Christians, then our belief will be in vain and won't do us any good. Andrew, put up number 11. Galatians 5, verse 4, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. You see that? The standard Baptist position, once saved, always saved, is that you cannot fall from grace. This passage says you can fall from grace. Now, you can't fall from a tree unless you've been in a tree, right? Am I right? So you can't fall from grace unless you've been in grace. And, of course, you're not in grace unless you're saved. So here I have a person in grace, he's saved. He falls from grace, he's lost. Doesn't that prove that once saved, always saved is not true? Put number 15, Andrew. James 5:19-20. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Now we're talking about a brother in Christ. He errs from the truth, and our duty is to try to convert him back. I believe that happens with you guys. Somebody will quit attending. They'll fall away from the church. You guys will try to get them to come back. We do that. What is this passage saying about that person? This is saying that person is lost. Let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, shall hide a multitude of sins. So if he's not converted back, his soul will die. He'll be lost. Remember, this is talking about a brother to start with. A person is saved. A brother in Christ. But if he answers the truth, it says his soul is lost, and it's our duty to try to convert him back so he won't lose his soul. And then number 22, Revelation 3:5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Now, we all know, I think, if we study the Bible, the book of life is in the Bible 8 or 10 times, and it refers to the book that God has where he has the names of all the saved people. When you become a Christian, when you get saved, he puts your name in that book. Now, this verse contemplates somebody's name getting erased out of the book. And also, Revelation 22:19 does the same thing. It says, he that overcometh, I will not blot his name out. That implies that if you don't overcome temptation, if you don't overcome sin, if you do go back into the world, into sin, God will blot your name out of the book. Now, that has to teach that once saved, always saved is not true. Because here's a person that got his name put in the book, which means he's once saved, but he's not always saved because his name got blotted out of the book, which means he's not saved anymore. Isn't that pretty clear? Andrew, number 10. In 1 Corinthians 9, verses 25-27, Paul is speaking about himself. He says, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul's talking about himself, and he says he had to keep his body under subjection, in other words, overcome sin, overcome temptation, because if he didn't keep his body under subjection, he would become a castaway. Now, this word castaway is from a Greek word that's in the New Testament 8 times in the New Testament. Once it's translated castaway, once it's translated rejected, and the other 6 times in the King James Version is translated reprobate. What does reprobate mean? Remember, this word is translated 6 out of 8 times reprobate. Reprobate means, if you look down at the bottom from my dictionary, rejected by God and beyond hope of salvation. That's what Paul's saying. He says, if I don't keep my body, Paul's body, under subjection, if I don't resist the temptation to fall away into sin, then I would become a reprobate, that is, rejected by God and beyond hope of salvation. Now, if Paul, who we all agree was one of the best gospel preachers of all time, he's definitely saved, if he says it would be possible for him to become a reprobate, that is, rejected by God and beyond hope of salvation, in other words, he could be lost, he could lose his salvation, and he's perhaps one of the greatest preachers of all time, then couldn't we? Same thing happened to us? Thank you very much.